most commonly associated with a state of disorder, randomness, or uncertainty. Here we go. Oh, yeah. Here it is. Lack of order or predictability, gradual decline into disorder. Have you noticed it? Look at a teenager's bedroom and you'll see the forces of entropy at work. My mother was a strong campaigner against entropy, especially in the bedroom. But it must be a property. It's a property that ultimately comes from Krishna, and I guess it's the property that Lord Shiva oversees, right? The dismantling of everything. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhadrathari. Giribhadrathari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Bana Chari. Jamuna Tira Bana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhadrathari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhadrathari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhadrathari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tera Vada Chari. Jamuna Tera Bana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Punjabi Hari. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivarajikacha. Aha. Now I found out why they tie it up, because it's very loose. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivarajikacharya Ashto Tarasada Shishi Mad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivarajikacharya Ashto Tarasada Shishi Mad Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki. Premse Gaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sirveta Gadad Hara Siva Sari Gora Bhakta Vrindaki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kundagiri Govardhana Ki. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki. Sri Maipur Navadvait Dham Ki. Sri Purushottam Chetra Ki. Sri Ganga Mai ki jai, Sri Jamuna Mai ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Devi Maharani ki jai, Harinam Sankirtana ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gora Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Guranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharani, Nivasesha Sunivari Paschachati Sutarani. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, The Science of God, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. Okay. The encaged living entity is separate from the body. That's the heading of this particular section. Text number 45. Is that right? 46? Okay. Putendriya mano lingan. Dehan Uchavachan Vibhu Bhajatyus Utsrijati Anyas Tatschapi Svena Tejasa Putendriya Mano Lingan Dehan Uchavachan Vibhu Bhajati Utsrijati Iyanyas. Yes. tachchapi svena tejasa putendriya manolingan tehanucha vachan vibhu pajatyut srijyati hyanyas tachchapi svena tejasa. Putendriya manolingan Dehanucha vachan vibhu Bhajati utsrijati hyanyas Tatschapi svena tejasa. Bhutendriya manolingan Dehan utschavachan vibhu Bhajatyut srijati hyanyas Tatschapi svena tejasa. Bhutendriya manolingan Dehanuccha vachan vibhu Bhajati utsrijati hyanyas Tatschapi svena tejasa. Bhutendriya manolingan Dehan utsrijati vachan vibhu Bhajati utsrijati hyanyas Tatschapi svena tejasa. Buddha, by the five material elements, indriya, the ten senses, manaha, and the mind, lingan, characterized. Dehan, gross material bodies. Uccha avachan, high class and low class. Vibhu, the individual soul, which is the lord of the body. And senses, bhajati, achieves. Utsrijati gives up. He indeed. Anyaha, being different. Tat, that. Cha, also. Api, indeed. Svena, by his own. Tejasa, power of advanced knowledge. The five material elements, the ten senses, and the mind all combine to form the various parts of the gross and subtle bodies. The living entity comes in contact with his material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up by his personal prowess. Svena tejasa. Svena tejasa, by his personal prowess. This strength can be perceived in a living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. This strength, tejasa. Svena tejasa. His own power of advanced knowledge. Right. Purport, the conditioned soul has knowledge. And if he wants to fully utilize the gross and subtle bodies for his real advancement in life, he can do so. It is therefore said here that by his high intelligence, Svena Tejasa. Okay, so that's interesting, isn't it? Svena Tejasa is translated in the word for word as by his own power of advanced knowledge, right? And then it's described again, personal prowess in the translation, and again, perceived in a living entity's personal power to possess different types of bodies. And then again here, high intelligence, more than one meaning to Svena Tejasa. Got that? And here more. By the superior power of superior knowledge achieved from the right source, the spiritual master or acharya, he can give up his conditional life in a material body and return home back to Godhead. However, if he wants to keep himself in the darkness of this material world, he can do so. The Lord confirms this as follows in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 25. Yanti deva brata devam. Pitrin yanti pitri brataha. Bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino pimam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors, and those who worship me will live with me. The human form of body is valuable. One can use this body to go to the higher planetary systems, to Pitriloka. He can remain in this lower planetary system. But if one tries, he can also return home back to Godhead. This prowess, what's that referring to? This prowess.
The ability to move off the planetary system.
Yeah. Svena Tejasa. It's all coming back to this. This power, right? Prowess, teja. Tejas means power, potency. Right? So, the human form of body is valuable. One can use this body to go to the higher planetary systems, to Pitriloka, or can remain in this lower planetary system. But if one tries, he can also return home back to Godhead. This prowess is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the Supersoul. Therefore, the Lord says, Mata smriti jnanam apavanam cha. From me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. If one wants to receive real knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become free from bondage to repeated acceptance of material bodies. If one takes to the devotional service of the Lord and surrenders unto him, the Lord is prepared to give one directions by which to return home back to Godhead. But if one foolishly wants to keep himself in darkness, he can continue in a life of material existence. Okay. Oh, Magana Timirandasya. Giranjana Salakaya Chakshu
Unmilitam Jena Tasmae Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Tatisva Padantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Garim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam.
Okay, so firstly, what is the body made of? What is the body made of? Hang on. Let me put my glasses on. Okay, over here, what was that, what is the material body made of? Five elements, Bhuta. Yes, Bhuta. What are the five elements? Thank you. Air, water, fire, air, what is it? Earth, water, fire, air and ether, going from gross down to subtle. Yes. Okay, and then what's next? Indriya. Okay, how many?
Ten.
It's mentioned here, ten. Right? Ten. There's the karma indriya, and the jnana indriya, right? The acting senses and the knowledge acquiring senses. What are the knowledge acquiring senses? Yep, yep, ears, yep, eyes, yep. Tongue, yep. And what else? What's the other one? Touch, yeah. When the touch interacts with air, you can feel it, right? And what about the Krishna? What about the working senses? What are the working senses? No, working senses. Hands. Feet or legs, tongue, isn't it? No, that's they're the knowledge acquiring senses. The working senses, the genital, the anus, isn't it? Yep. So the body is made up of these material elements. These are fairly gross. They're gross. They're all measurable by sense perception. But then there's the subtle elements, right? Mind, intelligence, false ego. Very interesting. The Vedic conception of existence is that we are a spirit being encaged in a material body, right? Interesting. If you want some hints, if you're giving class, right, and you want to know what to talk about, there's a hint. And it's not unusual, but in the table of contents, in each chapter of the Bhagavatam, there are headings, right? So chapter 2 at page 109, which is where we're up to, right? The heading in the table of contents says, The encaged living entity is separate from the body. Right? So if you're ever wondering what the topic is in the Bhagavatam, it doesn't hurt to go and have a look in the table of contents because it'll tell you. Right? So the material body is predicated or is established on, based on one essential principle. What is it? What do you think it is? Hands up. Hands up if you think you know what the one basic principle is upon which the body rests. This is not a very hard question. Two people. No, that's not true, but not what the answer we're looking for. Huh? No. What makes the body go? And without it, you have nothing. That's all. Oh, yeah, that's what I said. It's not very, this is easy. Basic. Basic. Right? And in caged in a body made up of these elements, bhuta, indriya, and then the subtle elements, right? But the very interesting point that's brought out in this, this is the translation, the five material elements, the 10 senses, and the mind all combine to form the various parts of the gross and subtle bodies. We have a gross body, right, that you can feel, right? And we also have a subtle body, which we also feel, right? We also experience our subtle body. One morning you wake up and you feel very enthusiastic and happy, and then the next day you wake up and you feel depressed and unhappy. You experience that? Yeah? No? Always happy. Or always miserable. Life is never, ever always something. It's always changing, right? Why Krishna recommends, you know, second basic instruction of the Bhagavad Gita is the material world is always changing and we have to tolerate it. Right? So, the living entity, now this is the interesting part. The living entity comes in contact with his material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up. Hare Krishna. Right? So, we're inhabiting this body. Right? But it's always changing. Right? Always changing. Imperceptible sometimes, but always changing. And then eventually what happens? We are given a body and then we go through the six stages of existence. Birth, growth, maintenance, production of byproducts, dwindling, then what? Dehantara. At the end, we give up the body and go to another body. Right? That's what's explained here. The living entity comes in contact with his material bodies, whether high or low, and later gives them up by his personal prowess. That's this Tejasa, Svena Tejasa. So a lot hinges on the prowess of, or the energy of the living entity to accept and then eventually give up their bodies. Right? We all have to give up this body. Actually, it's happening all the time. The body that we've got today is different to the body that we had yesterday. Right? Things have gone in, right? Maintenance, and then the production of byproducts, right? So the body that we have today is different to the body that we had yesterday, although it appears to be the same, right? But we see over a period of time how the body changes, right? See, I remember when he was a baby and when you were a baby. I can even remember when I was a baby. Right? But if we look at if we go and look in the mirror, then we see we're completely different to what we were 60 years ago. Well, for me, nearly 70 years ago, right? So we have this potency to accept and to then give up material bodies. It happens even in this lifetime, imperceptibly, but it's happening all of the time to us. Right? We accept it as being normal. And why in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you know, at the time of death, it's just a changing of another body. Prabhupada describes it like going to sleep at night. Right? When you go to sleep at night, you forget about... There's another feature, actually, of giving up the body and accepting other bodies. We go to sleep at night and then we dream. We accept a completely ethereal body. I remember when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, I used to dream at night that I was flying all over the place. All over. Huh? Completely absorbed in that body. Or, yeah, so many dreams. Huh? We forget the gross body and we become completely absorbed in a subtle body and off we go, travelling all over the universe. Right? And then we wake up and we realise, oh, I'm still in bed. I didn't go anywhere. I just stayed in bed. Right? So this prowess, tejas, svena tejas, of accepting and rejecting or giving up bodies is described here as being a very important characteristic of the living entity. Very important characteristic. Right? Which means, and why this is critical is because we have choice. Right? We have a choice. There's this debate. You know, do we have free will or are we eternally bound by our karma? Right? This is hard for people to understand, this concept of karma and free will. Is it that we can just do what we like? Well, yes, but no. Right? Yes and no. And is it that we're always bound by our reactions, by our past karma? Well, yes, but no, right? Because while we have a certain amount of reaction that accrues, you know, that we are bound to accept, at the same time we also have choices. This is the free will of the living entity. And Krishna recognizes that free will and never interferes with it, right? But he gives us choices, right? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, I've given you my opinion. And in the Bhagavad Gita, I think Krishna, at least seven times, Krishna says, this is my opinion, right? This is my opinion. Interestingly, though, Krishna, when he gives his opinion, very often quotes authorities or authority like the Vedanta Sutra, or, you know, Krishna refers to authoritative sources on what Arjuna should do. Although sometimes Krishna says to Arjuna, you should fight, because if you don't, people will laugh at you. Right? There's no Shastric basis for that. That's just, you know, you don't want a bad name, do you? So it's interesting that Krishna gives his opinion. Very often his opinion is substantiated by Shastra, like the Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads or whatever. Why the Bhagavad Gita is called the Gita Upanishad, because its basis, its primary basis is within authorized scripture, right? But he gives Arjuna the opportunity to choose. I've given you this instruction. And what's the instruction? In the end of the Bhagavad Gita, what's the instruction? Bhagavad Gita basically is surrender to a spiritual master. If you want to get out of the material world. Now, this is the other svena tejasa, the prowess or potency or power of the living entity. Right? We accept and give up material bodies. And we can keep on doing that. But it's generally considered faulty, right? Material bodies are considered faulty. Why is a material body considered faulty, Sibya? What do you reckon? Why is a material body considered faulty? Manamanjari.
Well, the capacity is limited.
Yes, limited. Temporary. Temporary, yes. Temporary. What is it? Dukkha, dosha, anudarshanam. It's unhappy, miserable. Dukkha, dosha. It's got faults, right? When we're young, we think everything's great. But it's not long before we discover that actually it's very faulty. So staying in the material world is a choice that we can take. Right? But with the intercession, if you like, with the influence of the Supersoul, right, or Krishna, or his representative, the spiritual master, one can choose not to stay in the material world, give up the material body, and accept a spiritual form. Right? Now, spiritual form is considered to be superior because it's sat, chit, ananda, right? Permanent, full of knowledge, and blissful. Sat, chit, ananda. That's the kind of body that we want, not the asat, achit, near ananda forms that we experience in the material world. And of course, the feature of the human form of life, why the human form of life is such a boon, such an opportunity. What is it? Atato Brahma Jigyasa. This is the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra. Asks this question or makes this statement. Now we've come to the human form of life. Inquire as to what its real purpose is. You know, is it to chase material pleasures like the what does the Bhagavatam describe? Hogs, dogs, camels and asses, right? Human beings that just chase eating, sleeping, mating and defending are considered to be no better than animals, right? And that we have in common with the animals. But what is given to the human form of life is this opportunity to what? What's the boon or the advantage of the human form of life? Does anybody know? You can raise your hands if you think you know.
You can affect your life more God.
Yes, and how do you do that? What's the key feature? Sorry? You get higher intelligence, yes. But what comes with the higher intelligence? What are these things? Ears, yes. We've got ears. Really important. What's the beginning of bhakti? Huh? Hearing. Yes, hearing. Hearing. Yeah. We get an opportunity to receive knowledge beyond our experience. Just simply through hearing. Amazing, right? And you know, I don't know, have any of you ever tried talking to a dog or a cat? Right? How much information do you reckon is getting through? You talk to your dog and it's going, right? And then what does it do? It just licks your face. Prabhupada says, just tasting you to see what you might be like if it was got an opportunity to eat you. Right? So, in the animal species, whilst the animals may have the same senses, right, even have intelligence, right, they don't have the developed form of sensual experience and understanding and hearing, and as Hayagriva, isn't it? Yeah. Mentioned. Discrimination, intelligence, the ability to gather information and then apply it appropriately. Right? There's a real advantage of the human form of life. So, what is it? Svena tejasa, that prowess or that potency invested in us, right, is that ability to accept bodies, right, and especially to get to the pinnacle of existence, which in the Vedic construct is the human form of life, and then in the human form of life get an opportunity to hear from the spiritual master. Now, ultimately, those instructions are coming from the super soul, right? Krishna. The spiritual master is described as the external manifestation of the Paramatma, the super soul, right? And exists in a variety of forms. It's interesting. We are, you know, we talk of the one God, right? So we are monotheists, which means we believe in one God, right? Is that right? But we're also polymorphic. You know what polymorphic means? What's poly mean? Poly. Many. And morphic? Forms. Yes, so this is very interesting. We believe in one God, but hang on a second. Ram, Krishna, Nrisimhadev. So many. Right? In fact, it's described in the Bhagavatam that there are as many incarnations of God as there are waves in the ocean. No wonder, you know, when the Western, you know, mindset met the Indian, the culture of India, and then they saw all of these personalities, it's like, what's going on here? Right? Just mind blown, right? And this is quite amazing. We believe in one God, yet how come he's so many different personalities? You know, on the altar, we say, we worship Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, here we have Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, right? Here's Radha and Krishna, and over here's Balaram, Jagannath, Balaram and Subhadra, right? And immediately, people who have no exposure to Hinduism, we'll call it Hinduism, we are Hindus. We're, of course, we're not. We're not the body, basically, but you've already lost people. You know, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda. Even people from the Hindu traditional background, if you bring them into a Hare Krishna temple, they're lost. They'll ask you, where's Ganesh? Or do you worship Lord Shiva? Right, very bewildering. And yet we say, but we're monotheists. We believe in one God. So, just as there are many forms of Krishna, right? So similar, and we also believe in the Guru as being one, yet there are many forms of the Guru. Oh no, more complicated, right? So, and so we have the Vatma Pradashika Guru, we have the Siksha Gurus, we have the Diksha Guru, we have the Chaitya Guru. Krishna as the Paramatma within the heart is also instructing us and advising us. If only we would listen to his instructions. And usually there's so much confusion going on in our heads. We can't differentiate between Krishna's instructions and what other noises are going on, right? So, Krishna, being polymorphic, he also appears in the form of the spiritual master. Isn't that amazing, right? He appears in his own transcendental forms, but he also appears in the form of the Guru, who gives us spiritual guidance and spiritual instructions. And we have the opportunity, again, Svena, Tejasah, we have the prowess or the potency, the power, right, to accept those instructions and shift ourselves from the material world to the spiritual world, right? Knowledge, based on knowledge, really important. In the Vedic culture, knowledge is considered to be the most valuable asset, right? Money, power, influence, all of those things, useless. Oh, well, useful, handy, right? Certainly handy, but temporary. Whereas knowledge, especially spiritual knowledge, is something that can be invested in the soul, interestingly. You know, sometimes have you heard of such a thing as a child prodigy? Right? You know, so from a very young age, a child is able to, you know, play the piano or even the mridanga. We see it with some of our kids, you know. The kids, before they can crawl, practically speaking, they see a mridanga and they want to crawl to the mridanga. And then start, you know. Right, of course, some of it's just noise. Wishful thinking. But then some of them pick it up and just start playing. And it's like, what? Where did you get that from? Right? So where's that come from? Past life. Yes. Why not? That's what we think anyway, right? We think, oh, what a beautiful little boy or girl. So, yes, learning, knowledge, especially knowledge of the soul and its separateness from the body. This is svena tejasa. You know, this inclination or this yearning, this longing for spiritual guidance and spiritual freedom, emancipation, what we call liberation, freedom from this, from the entanglement of thinking oneself to be the body, and the liberation of understanding that I'm not the body, that I'm spiritual by nature. You know, and this is what happens when we chant Hare Krishna, right? Have you noticed? When you chant Hare Krishna and you feel, what do you feel? When you chant Hare Krishna, what are you feeling? Huh? Sometimes he's laughing, sometimes he's crying, right? Sometimes he's shouting. Sometimes he's rolling on the floor, right? This is described in the Bhagavatam. And he couldn't care what anybody thinks. Right? Does he care? People think, oh, what are these Hare Krishnas up to? These crazy people. My friends used to tell me, oh, these Hare Krishnas, they're crazy. And I was thinking, hang on a second. It looks crazy, but crazy people don't do things so deliberately. Right? If you're genuinely crazy, that's something else. This is not crazy. You've got to find out what's going on here first, right? But you get an, you know, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, how do you feel? How do you feel? Huh? Happy. Who said happy? Happy. Good. Anybody else feel happy when you're chanting Hare Krishna? Yeah. Huh? You don't just feel happy, you feel jubilant, right? Isn't it? Jubilant. You see, sometimes the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, and then they just walk around. We own the place. Just showing off. They're so happy. Uh-huh. And Prabhupada mentions that, you know, devotees so happy, so proud of his spiritual master and the teachings that he's received, and that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that he's happy. Huh? Even when life is tough, we can be happy by chanting Hare Krishna, because that reveals and uncovers the true quality of the individual, the spiritual characteristic. The Satchit Ananda form of the devotee is manifest when he's chanting Hare Krishna. And that's why he's dancing. This is the, you know, the descriptions of the spiritual world is that, what is it? Every step is a dance and every word is a song. Right? That sounds like a place where we want to be. Right? Well, everything we do, we're dancing and we're singing. It's like an eternal nightclub. Right? Always singing and dancing. That's the spiritual world. What is it? Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya. Huh? Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. So, the spiritual master speaks this, gives this knowledge. And when we hear that information, and when we put that information into practice, by following the process of bhakti, then we uncover our true spiritual identity. So this knowledge or this learning is considered to be the most important. the greatest acquisition. And that comes from the various spiritual masters. For us, we have Srila Prabhupada and all of the books that he's written. Very interesting. See how Prabhupada emphasized scholarship and learning. Otherwise, why did he write so many books? Well, here Prabhupada, in this room, Prabhupada criticized his disciples. He said, "You think my books are only for selling?" He said, "No, but they're meant to be studied, right? They're meant to be read." And then that knowledge put into practice. So that's the svena tejasa, right? That opportunity to hear, to receive knowledge from the super soul through his agent or agents in the form of the guru, right? The reason why the guru is one is because the message is the same, right? But the guru can manifest in many forms. This is just like Krishna. He is one, but he manifests in different forms. The guru is considered sakshat tarit vena samastra shastraya uktastata bhavyata eva sadbi. Right? The spiritual master is considered to be non-different from Krishna. And why is that? Because the message is the same. The message is the same. The message remains the same. When a guru speaks something different from Krishna, then you can understand he's not a guru. Huh? That's the... So, receiving those instructions, hearing those instructions, hearing the Maha Mantra, hearing the Bhagavad Gita, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, equips us with the knowledge and the understanding of the right choices to make. Of course, sometimes we don't. That's our ignorance, our stupidity, in one sense. But that's our choice. Krishna won't interfere with that. And that's why it's recommended we associate with the, you know, why sadhu sangha is so important, association with devotees is so important, because there's always that reminder of our relationship with Krishna and the responsibilities that we have in the human form of life. The human form of life gives us an opportunity to behave like a human, not like an animal. And for so many lifetimes, what have we been? What have we been for so many lifetimes? What do you reckon?
Humans and animals.
What's that?
Animals.
Yes, we've been animals. So, you know, don't be surprised if you, from time to time, you want to behave like an animal. We've been doing it for a long time. So, you know, it's not unusual. Right, Tom Jones had a song in the 60s. It's not unusual. So it's not unusual. But in the association of the devotees, we're reminded, you're not, resist the, what is it? Tamasi ma, give up the ignorance, jyotir gama, come to the light. Right, this is what we're encouraged to do. Don't stay in darkness. Come out of dark. But, you know, sometimes we're a bit like, you know, somebody who's sleeping and you turn the light on. Right? And they go, "Oh, turn the light off. Leave me alone. Right? Give me a break. Let me sleep here." Right? You know what used to happen in the old days? If you slept in and you wouldn't get out of your sleeping bag, the devotees would pick you up in your sleeping bag and throw you in the shower and then turn on the shower. I don't suggest that's what we do now, by the way. uh, Krishna doesn't interfere with our independence, right? Although the devotees may from time to time. But we should be careful. We should be mindful of the need for choice and free will, right? Choice. Krishna gives us that. What is it? Svena Tejasa. So, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? You can choose to be an animal. It's okay. You can choose to be an animal if you want. Right? And Krishna doesn't interfere. That's why we have 8,400,000 species of life, because that's what we wanted, right? But knowing the discrepancies of material existence and aspiring for a higher achievement, we seek out the association of the devotees, and old Shraddha. In the beginning, we have some faith, and then Sadhu Sangha. We then take the association of the devotees because we appreciate being an animal is not much chop, right? And even just being a human, living like an animal, also not much satisfaction in doing that. But the real satisfaction of, or the perfection of life, is to get that opportunity to realize our spiritual identity. That's the and when we do, then we see it. The devotees just become so happy, right? You become so happy, you wonder if you're not going to explode or not, right? Huh? You feel so happy, you think, boy, I'm so lucky. Huh? Everybody else thinks we're crazy, but we think we're the most lucky people on the planet, and we don't care what they think. Huh? This is described in the Bhagavatam. So we need to take advantage of this tejas, this power, and not behave like an animal, or try to avoid, you know, you can't avoid eating, sleeping, mating and defending effectively. You can't. But we do that in Krishna's service also, and so that's purification as well, so that we can rise up. What do they say? Rise to the occasion. What's the occasion? What's the occasion for us? You reckon? Yes, chant Hare Krishna. Go on Sankirtan. If you want to experience the higher taste, then chant Hare Krishna. That's what it is. And Sankirtan's the best place for it. Okay. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Madhu Manjari.
I was just trying to understand that Svena Tejasa part in the text and the context and the previous texts, because it's Yamaraj who is talking. It's what?
Yamaraj speaking.
And
yep.
And he said that Svena Tejasa is the prowess of the living being, I mean the soul, to accept and leave the body.
Yes. That's
and
what it is.
Because of that, the power of his knowledge, his spiritual knowledge. But I was trying to reflect upon that in the sense that living the body in general is imposed on us.
Is?
Imposed. So we are forced.
Imposed on us. Forced on us.
Even accepting a body is not.
Yes, but it doesn't need to be.
Yeah. So
that's the power.
In that
potency.
Sense, I was trying to understand in what context Svena Tejasa would be applied. It's just for those selected few souls who has knowledge, because when you have realized knowledge, then you will be able to act.
Yes.
Even determine the time when you leave the body is your prowess. But in our cases, in my case personally, I consider it's more like a leave my body is something that is forced on me.
Yeah, good point. Well, that potency that power, if misused, will bring about suffering, right? But if one gets the opportunity to associate with learned, you know, people who are learned and understand their spiritual identity, then the changing of bodies can be influenced, and it always is influenced by what we do, right? This is knowledge or learning. And so it's a fact. Everybody has to die. And so in that sense, by the laws of material nature, we're forced, right? But the nature of our departure and the destination that we go to can be influenced by what we do, right? And that's the potency that we're given. We don't have to be forced to take birth again as an animal or as a human being, even, right? But we can by the endowment of that shakti or that tejas, right? We can influence the outcomes, right? That makes sense. So and Prabhupada mentions that a devotee basically knows where he's come from and where he's going, right? As we make spiritual advancement and progress, then we should know, we should have an idea. Generally, you know, you may not know what address you lived in your previous lifetime, right? But you can get an idea of who you must have been in your previous lifetime by what you're doing now, right? So what are you doing now?
Because of that knowledge, Swayateyasa, that by, I guess, Krishna's arrangements, causeless mercy, devotees, somehow or another, I'm engaged in devotional service, and for that would influence that aspect.
Yeah, that means you must have been doing it in your previous lifetime.
Yeah.
And may not have perfected it, but some little thing, or even a greater thing.
Yeah.
Right?
If you allow me another question, I was just also trying to understand that point in the sense that in that process of accepting and leaving the body, it's not just the power or the prowess of the living entity to be able to do it, but also other factors. And the main factor is Krishna's energy, the laws of nature. Mm. So I wonder if we should understand this context of Swena Tejasa, Krishna's giving us the power to do that, but at the same time interacting those all forces. It's not just the Swayateyasa.
That's why Prabhupada quotes the verse Mata Smriti Jnanam Apavanam Cha. And that's Krishna saying, from me comes Savasya Chaham Riddhi Sani Vishto. I'm situated within everybody's heart, Riddhi, right? As a super soul. Mata smriti jnanam apavanam cha. From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, and other things as well, not only those items. But so, yes, it's coming. That potency or that power ultimately is coming from Krishna. And if you want to forget Krishna, sure, no problem. He'll arrange that for you as well. That's a shock when we realise, hang on a second, I thought I wanted to be a devotee, but how come I'm still attached to being an animal? Right? Because of conditioning. Right? And why we... Oh, boy. It's not even 9 o'clock and I'm getting all these phone calls. Just excuse me. Oh, I know who that is. Ooh, okay. Somebody coming to my place to check out our gas. I better go. Gas safety check.
Although Chinchurupa's at home. Anyway. Anything else? Sibya.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the nice class. You were talking about the free will and the free will that Lord Krishna gives us, and he never interferes in between that. I'd like to ask, when we're doing some bad activities, how can we say if it's our free will or if we're doing it because of our previous life's karma? Because I've heard in lectures that whatever we're doing now is from our previous life karma. So how can we differentiate?
How can we what?
How can we say what we're doing now is from our past life or from our free will?
In relationship to free will. Okay. Well, we're influenced by our past activities to perform activities in this lifetime, right? But we can know from hearing from the spiritual master, from hearing from the Shastra, even from experience, that if we do those things, they'll cause us trouble, right? But we're pushed to do it. But the Shastra says, don't do it, right? Don't do it. Just like, have you ever climbed up gone up a very big building? Never, right? You know, sometimes you climb up a big building and then you get the urge to jump. Have you experienced that? Yeah. Yeah. Go to the top of a big building and think, jump. Mind's crazy. Right? But what does the intelligence say? Hang on a second, better think about this. Whoa, take it easy. Bright idea, but maybe not this time. Right? So we can check the impulses. And this is what Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. Why are we pushed to act? Karma, Isha, Krodha, Isha, Rajaguna, Samudbhava. Right, we're pushed sometimes by the mode of passion. Maybe not sometimes, a lot of the time. And ignorance, right? Modes of material nature are working. So this is why the association of the devotees is important, and why we give up bad association. Asat Sangha Tyag is a qualification of a Vaishnava, right? What is it? Vaishnava Cha activity. The activities of a Vaishnava are Asat Sangha Tyag. Give up the association of bad association. And bad association means those people who just follow the senses, the mind and the senses, and just do what they like. Passionately and ignorantly. So Bhagavatam recommends act in a mode of goodness. Control the mind and the senses. Focus on spiritual pursuit rather than just chasing the tongue, the belly and the genitals. Right? So how do we know when we're being impelled by past karmas? Pretty much if we're chasing passion and ignorance, right? And if we're taking advantage of our good association, then we're acting not necessarily on the mode of goodness, but on the platform of sudha-sattva, which means, practicing devotional service effectively, right? So, when the alarm goes off at 4 o'clock, we jump out of bed. Right? Jai! Haribo! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Instead of, oh no, what happened? Where am I? Why do I feel so bad? That's because actually the decisions are made the night before. You've got to go to bed early. But here's my experience at 7 o'clock at night. Oh, I've only got another 5 things I can do before I can go to bed. (Clears throat) better go to bed, wake up early, chant Hare Krishna, and do those extra things tomorrow. Is that all right?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Okay, all right. Let's have some prasadam. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Brinda ki jai.